talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
You are listening to Snacky Tunes. We are your host, Finger on the Pulse. Terry Diabolik is sitting down next to me.
Hello, how are you?
Good. Is there a phone off the hook? Sounds like there's a phone off the hook.
There it is.
We are back from a three-week hiatus. We just got back from tour in Europe with our group Punches, and it went pretty well. But before we get into that, who was that?
That was Robin, Fred Falk remix, Dancing on My Own.
And why are you playing that song?
Because she is playing Friday night at Pitchfork in Chicago this weekend, which we will be in attendance at. Very excited. It's an annual tradition. It's more or less the only festival that we go to every year.
It's my fourth year going. I love it.
I think I'm on my, I'm on my third. It's really is one of the best festivals. It's in Millennium Park in Chicago, and it takes all pretty much the best headliners of the bigger festivals and puts them in front of a very small crowd,
along with some of the best up and coming bands as well.
Yeah, Pitchfork really has a great eye and ear for cultivating new and outstanding music. And let's not forget Pavement Sunday Night. This will be the first time I've seen them in 10 years, I think.
Yeah, so we're gonna have Mark Richardson from Pitchfork on a little bit later. We'll talk about the lineup, and then hopefully Diane. Also this weekend, if you're in New York, which we will not be, it is the 10th annual Siren Festival. And Diane from Siren, if she can break away from her busy duties, we'll be speaking to her a little bit later.
Wow, 10 years.
10 years of free shows.
Free shows at Coney Island. So ride the Ferris wheel, eat some Nathan's hot dogs.
And ride the roller coaster. Sit in the front, give him a dollar, ride a second time.
You know, I still haven't rode the roller coaster.
Cyclone?
The Cyclone.
I don't know what you're waiting for.
I don't know. I'm waiting for the right person to
take
go.
Take your girlfriend.
I should do that.
You should do that.
I will do that. But tour was great. We had a lot of great food. You know, traveling across Europe, it's very different, the type of food and meals that you get than eating in America. Getting water at a table was a challenge pretty much at every meal. Wine, beer, alcoholic drinks.
Not a problem.
Not a problem. But getting even the smallest glass of water that wasn't bottled was quite quite a chore.
Quite a challenge.
At times, which is funny because I don't know if you remember, but in New York about a year or two ago, a lot of chefs, high-end chefs, shunned their nose at bottled water and decided to use tap water or their own filtration system. That's not even an option, really, in Europe. And we're talking big cities. Madrid, Barcelona, Paris, things like that. But the thing, the best meal that we had was we were at Calvi in Corsica, and we had wild boar. I guess they have wild boars up in the mountains, and everything ham was on the menu, and it was this great sort of stew with mushrooms and peas and this great broth and hearty French bread. It's really fantastic.
Yeah, it was really good. I mean, my personal favorite was the moules frites in France, where it's just you get big, I don't know, like very plump mussels with everyone. You know, here you usually get the normal little tiny ones in there. They're really meaty, and just, you know, that and some French fries and some bread. Not a lot of hand-cut French fries, which I always thought was like the way to go, but, you know, be these beautifully simple meals that we, you know, were prepared from scratch, and then frozen French fries, which I thought was
who knows what type of potato. I mean, you know, frozen French fries in America versus frozen French fries in Europe. I think there was just a base understanding of freshness in a lot of these places that is just the norm. You know, going to Paris, going to any place in Spain, things like that, you just get a better base of fresh ingredients or cured ham products.
Yeah, a lot of ham, a lot of things. And then the shows were very great. We were fortunate enough to play at the base of the Eiffel Tower, which there's video of. If you go to youtube.com/punchesbk, we were able to play in Copenhagen and Paris and London, Madrid and Spain, Madrid, Spain and Barcelona. We played this party called Crappy Tuesdays, which is a weekly party that has 2,000 people, which is an offshoot of the Nasty Monday party, which has 2,500 people, yep, with 1,500 people trying to get in. So it's been it was crazy, and we met a lot of good people. But it's good to be home.
It's good to be home. Oh, and we ate at La Boqueria, which was always phenomenal.
Oh yeah, the market in Barcelona. We overstuffed ourselves. If you want to see Punches and see us coming back from Europe, we're actually playing at the W Hotel tomorrow
with Nancy Wang of LCD Sound System.
Right. Which I think we're gonna play an LCD Sound System song right now. They will be playing. They will be closing out the Saturday night at the Pitchfork Music Festival. If you listen to some of the other shows, we were fortunate to cast some of the preview shows that were at the Williamsburg Hall of Music, and it was just absolutely amazing. And they're easily one of the best live bands that I've ever seen. I am a believer time and time again. But first, before we get on to that song, I want to give a quick shout out to our sponsors. Thank you to Roberta's for feeding us. And thank you to Brooklyn Bowl, dubbed by Rolling Stone as one of the greatest places on earth. It's a timely blend of live music, food by Blue Ribbon, and of course, bowling is a perfect strike every time. Brooklyn Bowl features diverse live performances from Snoop Dogg to Dr. Dogg, The Roots to Gaslight Anthem, Gogo Bordello to the Disco Biscuits, as well as all the hottest and local up-and-coming talent. Brooklyn Bowl is located right here in Williamsburg at 61st Wythe Avenue, a short walk from the L or G subway. See you on the lanes. So we're going to play the closing track on the new LCD Sound System record called Home, which is one of my favorite songs on the records. And then we'll be back with our first guest of the show. You're listening to Snacky Tunes on heritageradio.com.
Like nothing will last. sound of our voice. Still, you should not forget, yet don't forget the things that we laughed about. And after rolling on the floor, and thankfully a few made sure that you get home, and you stay home, and you better go. Cause you're afraid of what you need. Yeah, you're afraid of what you need. If you were, if you were, I don't know what we'd talk about.
Back to Snacky Tunes. I'm one half your host, Finger on the Pulse, Terry Diabolic. Sitting down in the chair is DJ Never Forget. That was just Home by LCD Sound System, who will be closing Saturday night at Pitchfork in Chicago this weekend. We will be there. Look for us with the glasses and the cutoff shorts. One of the biggest trends that we have seen in the last year or a couple years in the food world has been the rise of food blogs. From the juggernauts like Grub Street and Eater to the smaller ones like Brownstoner and Not Eating Out in New York, food blogs have really begun to shape and mold the way we see the culinary world and reporting about it, to many pleasures and displeasures of chefs and critics and at-home readers alike. One of the newest blogs is Eatocracy, CNN's own food blog, and we have Kat Kinsman on the phone with us, who was previously a senior editor at AOL Food and Slash Food. Kat, welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, what is Eatocracy, and what is the meaning of the word Eatocracy?
Well, we're the food blog for CNN, and we just launched a little over 3 weeks ago. And so our way of thinking, Eatocracy is a food democracy. So we're a food blog for people who would probably never call themselves foodies. There's sort of no barrier to entry. You don't have to know, you know, what arugula is or, you know, anything about molecular gastronomy. If you woke up today and you made a decision about what you were going to eat, you have a story to tell. So this is a place for people to tell their stories, and we look at issues in the news, issues in the world, social issues, all through the lens of food. So that to us is an eatocracy.
So is it not just restaurant reviews, but like food policy movements, possibly like healthcare reform, food bill reforms, like that wider scope?
Yeah, we're doing all that kind of stuff. We're a blend of all these different issues. Because we're CNN, there's a heavy bent toward news reporting. So we can pretty much take any issue that affects the world and look at it from the food perspective. We're talking a lot about school lunch reform, the Gulf Coast seafood situation, all that kind of stuff, and even LeBron James, that whole story, and we take a food angle from it. So where does the food come into this? But we're also a place for people to share their own personal food stories. One of my favorite things on the site is what we're calling the Heirloom Recipe Index, where we're getting people to scan in the handwritten recipes that maybe their mother or their grandmother had and share a story about the person who brought that recipe into their lives. So it's people, it's people who don't necessarily have a tie to the larger culinary world that we're seeing on TV, to the Food Network and to other places and stuff. We're trying to celebrate how people really actually eat at home every day and the history of that.
I'm sorry, you said LeBron James?
Oh, we did. Yeah, we were trying. We told him why he should move to New York. So we were just trying to lure him with restaurants. We were like, hey, the real estate people can get into it. Everybody else can get into it. So why can't we?
Right. Now, being backed by CNN, that's a huge resource that many of these smaller blogs haven't had. Have you found that to be a helpful point or a hindrance when going to report on different subjects?
It gets people to return your phone call, which is really
right.
Great.
Which is like the biggest thing.
That's a huge thing. I mean, we're a team of two people.
Right.
There's me, and there's a fabulous woman named Sarah LaTrent, who is our associate editor, and she had also been with me at AOL. So it's mostly the two of us blogging all day long, And we are lucky enough to, we haven't been around very long, but as people through the CNN family have gotten to know who we are, they're starting to contribute stories of their own. We're asking for people or other CNN employees are doing this out of the goodness of their hearts, sharing their own personal food stories. So we have that to lean into. Right now, we don't have a freelance budget or anything like that, so it's all coming from inside the building. But yeah, it's great. People luckily take you seriously when you say that you're calling from CNN. It's been really wonderful. We haven't had any of our content stepped on. You can't do that because they've been really tremendous and open and accepting and helpful in us just getting our message out to a larger base. So we really appreciate that.
So being backed by CNN and now CNN sort of hopping on this whole food blog trend, it's become sort of this full circle thing where, you know, without Eater, without Grub Street or things like that, your site wouldn't exist. So how do you feel about this sort of full circle of the big guys stepping into the blog world and your place in that?
Well, we do a very different thing than some of those other sites do. I think they do a tremendous job of covering restaurant issues, food world gossip, cooking, you know, all those kinds of stuff. They're doing a really great job out there. And I feel like we're doing a different thing than they are in that we are sharing these people's, personal food stories and doing a different kind of reporting than they are. I mean, my motto tends to be all gravy boats rise. So if one of us does well, all the others do too. We avidly link out to other people's stories, and luckily they've been reaching, linking out to ours. We have a feature every day, a blogger spotlight that we do where we, right now we're using, we're pointing toward blogs that are very regionally specific and highlighting a different one every day. Because we can't be on the ground all over the country. We're right now New York based, and just the two of us. So we're trying to point attention to people, say, in Atlanta or Iowa or wherever else we think people are giving a really interesting perspective on what's going on in the food community around them. So we're lucky enough to have this great big pedestal, and whatever we can do to use that position to help other people show off what they're doing, we're very passionate about wanting to do that.
And what is the submission process like? That how does someone in Iowa or Oklahoma or Utah get a story on your website or a feature?
Well, originally, before we launched, we just took a look around to see what we saw. It had to be a blog that was regionally oriented and that updated on a regular basis, which was pretty key to us. And so we selected the first round. Now that people know that we're doing this, all you have to do is either send us an email at etocracy@gmail.com, send us a note on Twitter. We're actually very active on Twitter. Follow us, and we'll pretty much follow you back. Or there are a lot of different ways to get, or leave something in the comments. We solicit at the end of each entry, who do you want to see on here? And we pay very, very close attention to our comments all the time.
We've looked at the site, and it's really interesting that you say that you have very basic stuff like the difference between a vegan and a vegetarian, we host a regular barbecue series, and this guy was like, so do you have anything for my girlfriend? She's vegetarian. She was like, I'm vegan. I can't believe you still don't know the difference. So it's really nice to see you guys not explaining it in a way that makes it very safe. I mean, do you plan to, break things down, or is it, take it through time and build a more sophisticated readership?
Oh, very much. I mean, we're presuming that our readers are smart people.
Right.
That they, as has been evidenced from the commentary we've been doing. Today we had a story, I gave an account, a first-hand account of watching a pig slaughter, because I was, sort of out of place as a food writer where I thought, I can't really live with myself writing about meat so avidly, and even eating meat, if I can't deal with seeing an animal killed. So I wrote a first-person essay about that, and there have been, last I looked, about 500 comments and really substantial, thoughtful things from both sides of the fence. So our coverage for the rest of the day is geared toward people's arguments. We currently have a poll up there, saying, could you give up eating meat? Explain why. We do a lot of follow-up features then, where we pull what we think are some of the most illuminating comments and, to show off what our readers have to say. So that clearly they're thinking about things, so we owe them further explanation, anything we can give them about the issues in which they're clearly interested.
Awesome. And finally, what does the future have in store coming up? What are some of the features we can expect in the next few weeks from your site?
Oh, I'm really excited about this. We're working with the Washington Bureau. This is the place where it's really great to work for CNN because they were able to get Sam Cass and Michelle Obama and go around with them to Green Market. Wow. So they filmed a lot of stuff for television that they don't necessarily have room for in all their segments. So we'll be able to get a lot of web-only exclusives. We're doing, just as more people throughout the company are interested in what we're doing, what I really love, a feature that we're doing, is Food in the Field, where reporters from all over the company are reporting on stories. They have to eat while they're there, so they'll show a plate of their food and say exactly where they are and how this food got on their plates. And I think that's something that CNN can cover in a really interesting way because there is such a broad reach, and we want more of the heirloom recipes. There's just going to be more.
It's fantastic. Well, Kat, thank you so much for coming on the show and talking with us about Etocracy. And the website one more time is?
Oh, etocracy.com.
Okay, etocracy.com. Well, Kat, thank you. I look forward to reading more features. And I actually did get a chance to read the pig slaughter article, and it's fantastic and a must read for anybody who's putting a piece of protein on your plate.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. It's really been a pleasure.
Yes, thank you. All right, everybody. CNN's new food blog, Etocracy. Kat Kinsman, who used to work at AOL Food and Slash Food, it really is a great website and really does give a different angle than your normal food blog. Coming up next, we have a live track from LP from Dinner with the Band's very first season on all networks. He'll be playing this Friday night.
Friday night, yeah. And coming up after the break, we have Mark Richardson from Pitchfork talking about the festival in Chicago and all things awesome weekend coming up.
I want to go to hot dogs. We'll see if we have time. I just got waved off. We're looking forward to eating at a few great Chicago restaurants. Anyway, listen to Snacky Tunes on HeritageRadioNetwork.com. This is LP Live on Dinner with the Band, playing this Friday at Pitchfork.
This song is for my new album, I'll Sleep in Your Bed. And it's called The Overly Dramatic Truth. It's really fucking... really pretty goddamn emo, I'm gonna admit. I'd be paying for you, but you would ask, telepath. You're too young to ask out loud. I'm too old and I know that. I can talk like you've not heard. I know weapons, you think words. I expose you to these terms. You still chose to roll on her. That could work, but not so fast. You're so open, I'm so crass. I'm too weak to hold that back. You still think extreme will last. Can't imagine up my past. I just can't explain all that. I wish I could trade your place. So romantic, full of faith. I must swear you, I must learn. I refuse to be your first. First to put you in your place. First to make you speed your pace. I'm a man now, good or bad. You're a girl still, good for you. Don't think this don't make me sad. This is something I must do. Keep your time, maybe be. Trying to spare you, trying to be. Drop a lot of man on fire. Cop a long call. Desire, fuck you all now. It's my fault. Fuck you all, dog. I can't stop. Should've listened, should've left. I can't stop unless you jet. It's so simple, open head. I will live my savage flesh. Help me help you walk away. Meet this an amazing place. You don't know if you're a disgrace. You still think I'm here to stay. I'm not even really here. I can't hear what I can't take. Where am I? What a sign at the door. What a score. You think I'm a genius? I know I'm a whore. What a time, what a climate for our lives. What's in store? You see live forever. All I see is war. I will pull your hair back. Fuck you on the floor. Pour myself into the act. Pour myself boo-hoo, I'm mad. Cause I know that these moments end. Telling you the truth is sad. You deserve the ignorance and bliss that I still wish I had. Don't you let me keep you here. Don't ignore my greatest fear. I need you to not need me. You need not believe, just flee. I will put myself inside you. Find some way to run and hide you. I can't be responsible. Do as I say, not as I do. Keep your time, MVP. Trying to spare you, trying to be. Got a lot of man on fire. Come along, go on. Desire, fuck you all now. It's my fault. Fuck you all, dog. I can't stop. Should've listened, should've left. I can't stop unless you jet. It's so simple, open head. I will get my savage.
talk. I know I'm no perfect draw, and I don't love the way you lay there. I do like the way we talk. Maybe I'm just condescending. Maybe this thing isn't wrong. Maybe you should lay right there. Put your hands up in the air. Keep it on top.
All right, that was just LP, an overly dramatic truth from the very, very, very first season of Dinner with the Band. We have the new episode airing tomorrow night with Lightspeed Champion.
Brings me back.
Brings me back, and along with our season finale with Andrew WK next week. But that's coming up stuff. There's a lot of things coming up. It's summer. Summer's here, and there can only be one thing. It's festivals. There's too much.
It's so much. I mean, the beautiful thing about living in New York, the summer is really the payoff for the harshness that is winter. But the great thing about summer is that there's great stuff happening all across America, all across Europe. I mean, you could really just go from festival to festival every weekend.
During the week.
Real, on the caravan of dreams and music.
Caravan dreams. And the one festival that we have been attending, this is for our fourth year, will be the Pitchfork Music Festival. And we have Mark Richardson from Pitchfork on the phone with us right now. Mark, you there?
I'm here.
Mark, good to chat with you. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while. How are you guys doing?
Good. Mark first reached out to us a number of years ago about Dinner with the Band when right. He had first moved over to Pitchfork, and you were was very, very big supporter and posted some of the early videos from the first All Network season.
Oh, yeah. I remember that stuff well. It was great stuff.
So thank you. But, you know, let's focus on the future and the festival this weekend. Are you excited?
Very, very excited. It looks, you know, this is easily our best lineup ever, and really looking forward to it. It's going to be beautiful in Chicago, and there's going to be a lot of great music.
Yeah, you know, most festivals, you know, from, you know, the first half of the day, you're kind of like, oh, I've never even heard of those bands, and then you kind of get into the meat of this, and, you know, starting, you know, Saturday 1 p.m., it's free energy, and it's real estate, and goes all the way up to LCD, and Baron Heaven and Wolf Parade. I mean, that is a serious, serious lineup. How were you guys able to, you know, curate such a, or what, you know, what was the goal this year for curating the lineup?
Well, from what I understand, one thing, you know, we've always started with a handful of bigger bands that we want to ask every year, and one of them being like LCD Sound System, and it's for, you know, for whatever reason before, it's never worked out. But this year, a lot of the bands that we had talked to every year that had never been able to do it did it this year. So there were just a number of these bands that we always wanted that came together at the same time. And then, you know, there's a certain amount of it's a combination of persistence and luck with trying to get a lot of these other bands that are in, you know, have interested us that aren't necessarily on that level, but are things that we would always want to check out here at the festival.
Yeah, I mean, wow. And now, you know, we're just looking at this Sunday. It's St. Vincent is playing at like 5 p.m. only for
right.
The fact that there's such heavy hitters.
Neon Indian.
Neon Indian.
And then, of course, you know, the big one of my biggest scores is that you guys have Pavement, which
right.
I imagine for a lot of people like myself, even though I have tickets to see them in September in New York, this is going to be the first time I've seen them in 10 years.
Sure, yeah.
And how did that come about? How did booking
well,
them?
Well, that, you know, that was another one ever since, you know, there was always the hope that, you know, maybe they'll get back together and
right.
do shows. And so that was always in the back of our minds that might be possible someday. And then this year, you know, it just... It you know, they finally made a decision that they were gonna do this thing, and we were lucky enough to, you know, be able to be one of their stops, and we're really, really excited about it. I mean, I saw them, you know, in the late 90s, And I just saw them in Spain last month, actually, at the Primavera, and they were really, really good. I mean, as good as when I saw them back in the day, and song selection's amazing. So, yeah, I mean, for anyone who's, you know, into all-time great indie rock, it's amazing that they're going to be playing here at our festival, and we're really stoked about that.
You know, one of the things that I love so much about Pitchfork is I think a lot of people from the industry or whatever, you know, kind of hold off in Chicago to go to Lollapalooza, but it's the way that it's laid out where you can really almost see every band or like a good chunk of every band here.
Right.
For any first-time goers, you know, what tips do you have to really, you know, doing it properly? What do you suggest?
Well, I think the good thing is kind of, you know, going where your interests take you, and then if it's not working for you, there's something else that's right around the corner, and it's not like, you know, wandering from one end of this huge thing to another, and then you get there and it doesn't work. I mean, it's such an intimate festival, which is something I really like about it. You know, there's three stages, and they're far enough away that you know, it all works out well sound wise, but I've always really liked how it's kind of a cozy feel. I mean, it feels like an afternoon in the park kind of thing, rather than you know, this epic thing sprawling over some farmland or something like that, which, you know, can be fun too. But because it's a more intimate thing where we're all close in with each other, I think navigating your favorite bands. I mean, there's the third stage, the connector stage has some smaller up and coming bands, and you can swing there and see what's up. And if that's not working for you, there'll be something going at the same time in one of the bigger stages that hopefully will be.
You know, sometimes some of the best acts you see are on that sort of side, the
right.
Third stage. And one that springs to mind was last year was the Killer Whales set.
Right.
Which was just one of those. I think it was Sunday afternoon, and everyone had rolled in from two nights of partying, and you could tell everyone had that look. You know, they're watching them, and everyone starts. You see that, like, who are these guys? Who are those guys? And it was definitely one of the highlights of last year, especially for a band I'd never heard of before. So, who are the unknown highlights that you think are going to come out of this year?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I'm actually looking at the schedule right now, and I'm not sure who's on which stage where. But that one thing about that third stage is it does seem like people have a really good time there, because it's a little bit easier to get really close up, and you know, and you can. It's just that much more intimate on that stage, and you know, I think. Someone I just saw that in Barcelona that was really fun, that I think people are going to have a good time with, is Best Coast. She's definitely like a fun, you know, fun in the sun summer thing, and I think that's going to be, I think that'll be a really good time, and I believe that's on that stage.
Yeah, I'm just looking, I'm like getting a little panicked actually trying to look at this Sunday, and
right.
Like how am I going to do this? I mean, you have, you know, Cast McCombs, Best Coast Girls, Washed Out, Beach House, Local Natives, Lightning Bolt, Cerebral Saint. I mean, it's just like...
It's a good problem to have.
Yeah, it's a great problem to have. And to be honest, if you're thinking about going, I know it's kind of last minute, you know, you see these... I can't reiterate enough. You see these lineups in other festivals, and there's just no way you're going to see it all. And you really can manage to probably catch 20 to 25 minutes of every band if you really wanted to do it. And also, the people there are really awesome. And it's really laid back. Do you think there'll be... I guess my also question is, do you think there'll be any surprise performances? A lot of these bands have new records coming out or coming out as well. Big Boy, the new LCD,
right.
Anything that's like, you know, I don't care what happens, house is on fire, I'm going to leave it burning to go see this.
Well, I've definitely talked to a lot of people who feel that way about Big Boy. His new record is so, so good, and it definitely seems like something that will be a really good time to see it performed, and by that time it'll be, you know, Sunday night, and everybody will have been having fun for a while, and it'll be leading into Pavement. I do think that'll be I can just see that being a kind of a good party feel on the way to closing it out.
And what can we expect food-wise this year? You guys always have a great lot of vendors. Who's coming back?
You know, Chicago's a great food city, and we have a lot of local people with all kinds of different foods, and you know, there's something for everybody over there. There's like, you know, always great barbecue and that kind of thing, and there's different kinds of, you know, food from all over the world. I mean, I had a really good Indian meal from a place there last year. So yeah, it'll be another good mix of good local places that kind of represent the full breadth of Chicago's food scene, which is something.
Awesome. And for people listening, what tickets are still available?
Sure. There are still a very limited amount available for Friday, and then Saturday and Sunday are sold out, but there's going to be a very, very limited number made available on-site at the box office on Thursday. It shows up at 11 a.m., and people would have to get there early. They're not going to last, but it's kind of a very small number are going to be released on Thursday.
Gotcha. All right, Mark. Well, thank you so much. Look forward to having a beer with you in Chicago.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Definitely say hello when you're here.
Yeah, all right. And the website is pitchforkmusicfestival.com. The festival will be streaming live throughout the entire weekend. Go to Pitchfork. Go to Pitchfork website to get all the details. And really, it is just a amazing, amazing lineup, like we had said. And there's also Panda Bear, Big Boy, Pavement, Here We Go Magic, Caves, Robin, LP, Modest Mouse, Eugene Merman, Broken Social Scene, LP Liars. I mean, really just going to knock out a lot of must-sees this summer here. So in honor of Terry Diabolik pooping himself a little bit over the excitement of Pavement, he's going to play a Pavement song.
Wow.
Yeah. Hey, it's internet radio. We can do what we want. You're listening to Snacky Tunes. Big shout out today to Brooklyn Bowl for sponsoring us. We love them there. See you on the lanes, as they like to say.
Go back to those cold sounds and keep my advent to yourself, because it's nothing I don't like. Is it a crisis or a boring change when it's central, so essential? It has a nice ring when you laugh at the low-life opinions, and they're coming to the chorus now. I keep my address to yourself. I never wanna make you feel
I'm
Right, that is Sleigh Bells, who will be playing the Pitchfork Music Festival. Before that was Wolf Parade, who will also be playing, and Surfer Blood, who will be playing both the Pitchfork Music Festival and the Siren 10-year Music Festival.
That's always, I gotta imagine, a big, just long weekend for those who do double duty.
Especially those who are not from New York who or from Chicago who fly in, play Siren, and either fly out the next day or play their set coming the next day. But yeah, so if you are in New York or Chicago, you can catch Surfer Blood. We will actually be DJing as Finger on the Pulse, the Siren pre-party with Brahms and Monotonics this Thursday. If you go to, it's free. All you gotta do is go to upTheAntics.com/siren. And you can RSVP. We'll be opening, middling, and closing. I think there's a middling is a good DJ set.
Continuing the party.
And tomorrow night, like I said, Punches will be DJing at the W Hotel with Nancy Wang of LCD Sound System. And then Punches will be doing a DJ set in Chicago at Smart Bar with Kid Color and Autobot of Flashadama. So it's a work week.
It's a big week. You know, it's funny when so much of the work you do is at night. You're like, how late can I get out of bed to justify how late I'm going to work tonight?
Noon? 11:59?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Who knows?
So, yeah, we're excited to be back. We will obviously be gone next Monday. But then after that, I promise we'll be uninterrupted snacky tune programming coming at you.
Yeah, we got our 1-year anniversary coming up, and I didn't want to make a big to-do about it, but happy 42nd show.
Yeah, happy 42nd show.
You know,
we're officially in our midlife crisis.
You pick a milestone like 42 episodes, and you never think the day is going to come, and here we are.
Yeah, and just a shout out to say, Dinner with the Band will be wrapping up by the time we get back. Tomorrow night, it's Lightspeed Champion, and then the final episode of this season will be Andrew WK.
Both of them not to be missed.
What else? Oh, and we have our barbecue, another barbecue coming up July 28th with Myland Delicatessen, which if you haven't had, is the Montreal delicatessen, which makes very, very, very good smoked meat. And Au revoir Simone, the lovely ladies from past episodes of Dinner with the Band and Snacky Tunes, will be DJing. If you'd like to hear the episode we did with Au revoir Simone where they played live, you can go to our podcast, which are on iTunes, and just search Snacky Tunes, because there's only one show on the internet with the name Snacky Tunes, and that's us.
Yeah, and thank you to Preston Craig for DJing, and Sam Mason and Dom for cooking this past weekend. Yeah. It was awesome. Brisket and chicken and salads. And
I would say that we are officially back in the swing of things. Big shout out to Brooklyn Bowl for sponsoring. Big shout out to Roberta's, Jack Inslee, and Rec Tech for making us sound good. And
big congratulations to the Jelly NYC crew for their launch of the pool parties.
Yes, yesterday was great. This Sunday, I am so upset to miss it, but Murder City Devils will be headlining one of their handful of New York shows, and they will be playing for free. So if you want to have your face melted and scream like a 12-year-old, go see Murder City Devils.
Bummed about that one.
Thought we were going to be here for that one.
So it goes.
That can happen. But anyway, so like we said, this weekend is the Siren Festival, and two of our favorite people in the entire world, Matt and Kim, will be headlining. It's their first show in New York since they played last summer with Flashadamas at Pier 54, and doing it the only way they can. They will be coming back with a huge free headlining show, playing all your favorite hits. So another thing to be upset about missing, but you should really take advantage of it. It's supposed to be gorgeous weather, and yeah, so we are your host, Finger on the Pulse. Thank you for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode of Snacky Tunes.
Show!